Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that discusses theology in a very simple way. We're going to try to help make the truths of the Bible accessible to anyone, whether you're a seeker, student, or saint.
If you're interested in theology but don't consider yourself a theologian, okay, you found the right show.
We're Josh and Heather Tice. We minister to and lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada.
We love each other, love theology, and we love to talk. We always begin each episode with a little bit of fun. So, Heather, let's get started.
All right, I have a great question to get us warmed up here today.
This is episode six.
Warmed up, Crystal. I just punned again.
Warmed up.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I didn't even mean to. I love it when puns just happen. It's one of the beautiful things in life.
I don't get the pun.
Okay, the question is.
I don't get the pun.
If, that's because I haven't asked the question.
Oh, this pun is based on
know,
the question.
I know,
by the way,
desire
this is
to know
six,
is burning, burning within you. Oh my goodness. Okay.
The pun's not funny until everybody
okay,
knows
sorry.
What
okay,
sorry,
okay, here it
about.
Is, here it is. If you could have a new scent, a new fragrance for a candle,
okay,
what would it be? Like, what
oh,
needs
I get
to
it,
be out
candle
there?
Burning warm.
Yes, so we're warming up. And the question is burning within you.
No.
Are you Wiccaned by... Oh, that sounds like Satan worship. I didn't mean to go there.
You
I meant like Wiccaned
all of our
with
Wiccan
W-I-C-K.
Wiccaned. You've offended all of those who are
like
listening
sickened,
who are
that was a really bad pun. I'm sorry. Okay.
This is going off the rails, and we just started
okay.
this episode.
Answer the question. What scent... I could go first, because I just thought of mine.
All right. So the fun question you have for today is what? What's your favorite scented candle?
Yes. Like, oh. no, what or what scent should there be?
No, I
Let's
I got
make
it.
A new scent.
Oh, you want to
do I'm not
new
saying
scents.
My favorite. I'm yeah. saying, why is this scent not out there? And
yeah.
it should be.
Yeah.
Do you have yours?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I
Okay,
I don't,
I've got
I'm
mine. I've got
it.
Mine. Are you ready?
Yes. What is it?
Fresh baked bread. Now, they have cinnamon rolls, but that is not even the same.
Yeah, because that smells like cinnamon.
It's, and it's sweet and sugary. It's
yeah.
more of a.
You're talking about
it's almost
bread.
Like the sweet. I'm talking about the smell of fresh bread baking, and it's not out there. We
right.
just walked through a room not too long ago that had bread in it, and you could smell it. And our producer, Crystal's like, you want some bread? I said,
right.
no, I don't want any bread. But I wish I could take that smell
okay.
with me.
I got mine.
Oh, that's
I got
good
mine.
Smell.
I'm ready.
What
Are
is
you
it?
Ready?
Yeah.
The scent of old books.
Oh, that's a good one, Josh.
Yeah, when you go into like an yeah. old used
or new
bookstore.
Books. Bring on the new books,
no,
too.
No, no, no. It's got to be old books. You go
no,
to
they're
an
both
old
pretty,
bookstore or an old library and you crack it open and there's that scent, you know, that smell of old books.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I say old or new. There's two different scents there. That could right. be, we should open our own candle line.
Right, and then people would want to buy our
yeah.
old book and bread candles. I don't think so.
Book and bread? I don't think they go together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great opener. Okay. Let's get into the content.
I'm excited about today's. Today we are talking about some biblical villains. This is just something that's a Bible fascination for us.
Yeah, villains.
And some of these we've talked about, some we haven't. And just questions about the lives of some of these not so great people in the Bible. So Josh, start us off. Who
well, we in the Bible
at?
There are these great heroes, but then you have these anti-heroes as well. But we also have some villains. I mean, just downright nasty people. And you can't talk about the villains of the Bible without bringing up people like Ahab and Jezebel, of course,
yeah.
Goliath. But these are the obvious ones. We're going to bypass the obvious ones. We're going to go to questionable ones. Ones like...
Or ones that there's something questionable in their life. Like
right.
maybe it's clearly they're clearly a villain, but is this true or not true in their
right.
life?
Let's talk about Michael.
Oh, you're starting with that one. That's
start
such a
with
good
Michael.
One. We're talking about David's wife here,
yeah.
not the archangel.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Crystal was freaking out. She
Our
thought we were
Crystal
saying an angel
like,
was a fallen angel. No, Michael, the angel, as far as we know, up to this point,
is still a good
is
guy.
Still serving the Lord faithfully.
Right. No, we're talking about Michael, one of the wives of David. In fact, the very
first
wife of David.
Oh, she is a sad one. My heart goes out to her. If there's anyone that I feel pity for in Scripture,
yeah.
and I would like to be a friend to, like, who would you reach out and be a friend to in the Bible? It would be Michael.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the story of Michael for our
okay,
listeners who don't know.
Okay, so first of all, let me give you the side. I can picture myself in her shoes. here's this guy who loves the Lord. I think she really did admire his love for the Lord. I don't think it was just that he became this big war hero after slaying Goliath. I don't think it was just that he was hot, because we know David was hot. I think it's also the
subjective.
Fact
subjective.
That, not subjective. Subjective. Now you're going into heresy land. You need to come back to the the light.
Wow.
But no.
By the way, for those who are interested in reading the story of Michael, you can look it up in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And you can learn more about it, 1 Samuel 14 through 18.
She falls in love with David. In fact, David was supposed to be getting her older sister, Merab.
Right.
And that fell through because Merab already had a man.
Right.
So, but it worked out well for Michal, you'd think, because she gets to marry David. And she really, I think, had this idea of this life she was going to have with David, that he would be this wonderful, God-fearing man, which he was. But obviously, he was not perfect.
No.
And he did have this problem in his life where he never really, I think, opened up. And I think part of it, that's a discussion on polygamy. I think part of that there was the fact that he wasn't committed to just one woman.
No.
And you can go a lot of different ways with that. But I will say, just to succinctly summarize, it's the fact that I think that limited what could have been a beautiful relationship with Michal. Now, you can see she's got some areas in her heart of hardness later on. There's this conflict between her and David. This is years later. And, well, let's not jump there. Let's say what happens in between. When David's on the run from Saul, obviously Michal kind of saves him, gets him out of there, covers for him to give him time to get away. She does all this. And then he goes off. And while he's on the run, he gets two other wives.
Right.
Two other wives he comes home with. In the meantime.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. I have a big problem with that as a wife.
So if I came home with two other wives, we would have issues?
We would have major issues.
I'm just trying to get clarification.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So just so you're in the
all right, now
I
know
there.
Now I know.
But imagine this. So I can only imagine the heartbreak as she hears, you know, there's rumors going around that news travels.
Sure.
She hears that her husband, who she's already missing and is away from home and fearful of, I don't know why she didn't go on the run with him. That's what I would have done.
Okay.
That probably wasn't acceptable. But then the other women are there. I don't know.
I don't want to say that you're on a rabbit trail, but you are way down
okay.
a rabbit trail.
Let me finish up, because this is important to where I'm going with Michal.
Yeah.
Long story short, when David comes back, she's been given to this other man. And I think she's just continued her life on with her. She's been deserted, in a sense, by her husband. And then they take her back. The poor dude goes behind the wagon crying and begging for Michal. It's just a pitiful thing. And then they tell him to go back, and he goes back, which I think is just a funny part of the Bible. They tell him, stop crying, go home. And he goes home and leaves. So she's sent back to David. And now she's one of three wives and eventually one of many wives. Later on, when David is bringing the ark back to Jerusalem.
I'll tell this part. So David is bringing back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And he's bringing it back. He's very excited because he won a battle for God.
Yes.
And he's dancing in the streets like a lunatic. I mean, he's getting his worship on, man. And he is dancing and singing and praising God and all of this. Michal, who grew up as a princess.
Yeah.
This is the moment that her princesshood, her bit of, you know, high
royalty,
life,
royalty
shows, and she just gets upset that the king is displaying himself like this.
And so sad, because he was actually, when this goes down, he's coming in to bless his family, and that's convicting to me as a wife, because I think of times that my husband's come in to be a blessing and bring something great, and I just receive it with claws, you know.
So what does she do? She
curses
David.
So she rebukes him, yes, and there's this harsh rebuke on him.
Who do you think you are, dancing in front of the people? You're supposed to be a king like my father,
yes.
A king like your father. Your father was this, and a whole fight ensues.
And it ends, and I think a lot of times it's taken a misconception. This is something I got from my sister-in-law. I thought it's really good. Way to go, Charity. She pointed out to me one time that it doesn't say that Michal was barren from that day because God closed her womb. It just says that she was barren. And the idea is more likely that David was done with her.
Yeah.
She ends up, I think, raising her brother's children. So I feel bad for Michal. I wish I could have been a friend to her helped her through this.
Okay, so really more
maybe been a friend to David and given some marriage counseling.
So,
did not want to be married to David, though.
Yeah. So more of a tragic character than a villain?
Yeah, I think so. Don't
really?
You?
Yeah.
She has my heart.
You know what? I'll go with tragic character than villain.
Okay, good.
Not
we're in
full
agreement.
Villain. Tragic character. All right, next one. Here's the next one on the list. Let's talk about Jephthah.
I don't know that I would make him a villain. I'm surprised he's on the list.
Yeah, well.
Why did you put him on the list, Josh?
Because it's a questionable thing, man. So here, let's quickly tell the story of Jephthah. Jephthah's a judge. He prays to God, God, if you let me win this battle, I will sacrifice anything that comes out of my door when I get home.
Which could mean, what do you think he's thinking? A dog,
a
cat?
A dog, a goat.
Or even their livestock was part of their household, the door of their house.
So he says, I'm going to sacrifice anything that comes out of my door. Then he gets home, and what? His daughter comes out of the door, and it seems to insinuate in the passage that Jephthah sacrifices his daughter.
Not true.
No?
No, I don't believe that's true at all.
In fact,
in the Hebrew, when you look up, I've heard that and in verse 31 could also be an or. So it shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And as you see them mourning, they're not mourning for her life. It appears they're mourning for her virginity, the idea that she was never going to be a wife. She would never, which was highly important in those days.
So your belief is that she was not physically sacrificed, but that she was given as like a nun would be.
Yes.
You're going to not be married. You're not going to have children. You're going to be given to God.
Yes.
Wow. Very interesting.
Is that your perspective, or do you think she was literally offered up a sacrifice? Because it was highly, highly against God's command. Human sacrifice, especially
totally
at this time
agree.
In Israel, was highly...
You know, I would agree. But here's the problem. During the time of Judges, everybody was doing that which was right in their own eyes. People were doing some weird and crazy stuff.
Mm.
In the context of the book of Judges, to have somebody kill their daughter as a sacrifice to God does not surprise me. I'm saying it's wrong, but the book of Judges has some insane stuff. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see it. I would see God stepping in just as he did with Isaac.
Yeah.
I don't think God would have allowed that in his name. We see it towards false gods.
God steps in with Isaac. That's a little different because Isaac is the one who's going to carry the promise of the redemption.
Jephthah's daughter wasn't important to God.
I would say in comparison, I would say for the narrative's sake, no.
I disagree. Let us know what you think, by the way. Go on the Facebook page and tell us because I am curious.
On the Facebook page,
I would like to know.
Jephthah actually sacrificed his daughter or not?
Yes.
We'd be fascinated by your response. Okay, here's another villain of the Bible. Here's a clear villain of the Bible. This dude is one of the worst. His name is Joab.
Oh, no. You did not just go there.
Joab. Okay. This has been a lifelong discussion for
Heather. We used to fight about this. Like, what was it? Our second year of marriage, even? It was early on, newlyweds.
Heather
almost
left
over Joab.
Over this conversation.
That's not true.
Because Joab, let's describe who Joab was. Tell us Joab's
job. You go first, because you preach a whole sermon series about it, and I would just sit in my seat taking notes, defending Joab. Was that not true? Am I exaggerating here, or is that what we talked about? Oh, no, it was
Joab.
A series, y'all, because I remember it was multiple weeks. He was hating on Joab.
Joab was a general for David. They were friends from their early age. And Joab does some, we can agree, highly questionable things in his service to David and to God. And at the end of David's life, David's on the deathbed. He looks to his son Solomon and says, with a croaking, dying voice, do what you must to Joab, kill him. So, for me, that sums up Joab.
Oh, and David never had any wrong thoughts or made any personal relationship mistakes.
I just said, he puts out a hit on a guy named Joab. I think he was a villain.
My argument is that my husband paints Joab as a complete 100% no good, worthless fellow. Do you not?
He's a bad guy.
And I see a lot of the right heart in Joab. I see Joab saying, David, why are you numbering the people? You know this is not what God wants. Please, king, please make the right call.
Politically motivated.
I see him trying to reunite father and son. And he doesn't follow after, does he? I'm trying. This is bad. I've gone into an area and I don't remember.
Does
he go after I want to say Azrael. That's like a demonic name, not not David's son.
Azahel.
No, not Azahel. Who's Absalom? Absalom.
Mijalal.
When Absalom leaves when Absalom tries to take the kingdom, Joab, no, he does against Solomon, but not against David.
Right.
Okay, so I agree he was wrong with Solomon, but he does. So I don't think he was motivated. That's my point there that I was trying to make. Boy, that took a long time to get there. But I think that Joab wanted to see Absalom and David reunited for the right reasons, not for political motivation, because he wasn't trying to desert David for Absalom.
So you agree with me that Joab was a villain?
No.
Yes.
I do not believe he was a complete villain. I believe he's in heaven. You don't believe that, do you?
I'm not going to
talk about
his
eternal soul. You believe it's a
completely carnal man. No. I'm not going to talk about his eternal soul.
Ooh, this has changed over the years, folks. Look, Josh is making progress. There is hope for this man yet.
I'm not going to talk about his eternal soul. I am going to say that he was a villain. He's a bad guy. His narrative,
well,
his story
I
is
look
bad.
Forward to one day on the streets of gold.
Yes.
Walking with you, yes, and introducing you to Joab. Joab, this is my husband, Josh. He didn't think you would be here.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I could make this introduction for the two of you.
That'll be a great day where you could rub my face in it in the eternal kingdom of
That's
heaven.
That's what heaven's all about.
Yeah.
Proving I was right. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Here we go.
You don't have anything else to add about Joab? I'm really surprised.
He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Those who read the Bible and study
it. I think he made some foolish mistakes, but his heart was in the right place. Unlike, you know, I say unlike, I'm being facetious, like those of us in this room who sometimes have their heart in the right place, but we don't always do things the right way. I think Joab's a classic example of that.
I do agree. There are a lot of times you don't do things the right way, even when your heart's in place. Okay, hey, let's move on to the next one, Bathsheba.
Oh, no, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this one. I don't want to talk about this one because I have an opinion that is different from most people.
Okay, so Bathsheba, and you're going to be shocked if you're listening, being Heather being in quite the woman's liver here. Heather and I disagree. I'm on the side of Bathsheba.
I'm not against her.
I do not think she was a villain. I think she was taken advantage of by royal authority.
I think that's a sexist view. She had no choice.
I think in the day and age where she was, I do not think it was her sin as much as David's sin.
I believe that...
By the way, do you like my pronunciation of the name Bathsheba?
Yes, I do. That was very Hebrew of you.
There are people listening right
how
now
Hebrew
screaming
of you, Josh,
at the radio, it's called Bathsheba.
That's how we say it in Alabama. Right. Bathsheba.
It's Bathsheba.
Like a Sheba dog. Anyway, All right. I did have a dog named Sheba. Did you know that? Anyway, she wasn't after Bathsheba. She was like an Australian shepherd.
I did not know.
Anyway,
that.
Bathsheba or Bathsheba, however you want to say it. I don't believe that she was, I don't know. There is question of, did she know the king could see her? I know the heart of women, and I know.
For those who aren't familiar, King David is in his palace, and he looks down over the hilltops, and he sees a very nice house close to him. And on the top, there's a woman bathing.
And
she is obviously naked and beautiful. And David calls for her and brings her in, sleeps with her, and they conceive and have a child.
And then kill her husband.
And then kills her husband, which is, you know, not good. And then Heather wants to explain why it's Bathsheba's fault.
Okay, it's equally. I'm not saying it's on her. I'm saying it's equally. I'm not even certain that she was planning this. It could have been totally innocent how it happened. It also could have not been.
Whether or not it is innocent.
I do, but my question is more the following part. The part that I do feel more certain of is not whether she intended for this or was trying to be of tempting nature and noticed this king out there, great hero David, and then it went further than she meant to. But here's what I do think. I think there was flattery and an excitement when King David called for her. I don't believe there was protest. And I know you're saying she couldn't. I'm saying that I believe if there was, the scripture would have given it to us. I think of David's daughter later.
Mm-hmm.
Tamar, who was raped. Yes, who was raped. And the scripture tells us she pleads with her brother.
And so you're
please
saying
don't do this thing. She makes arguments.
Hold that.
Can you please ask my father? He'll give me to you in marriage.
Your point is that if
there
was protest from Bathsheba,
the Bible would have told us that. And we don't see that. I think she was equally in the sin with David. I don't believe that she was taken advantage of. We disagree. And what is your argument? You think the Bible just withheld that she was the whole time, I don't want this,
no,
but the king will kill me.
I do.
That is your thoughts?
Yeah, I really do. I think that Bathsheba was in a situation where she was taken by the royal guard. She was brought in.
No protest, not even a little bit in her heart.
I'm not saying that it was violent and he pinned her down, and I don't want to get into details. But what I am saying is that I do think that he used his position of authority to intimidate her to the point of forcing. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could go a lot of wrong places with that, even in today's application. I believe God gives us free will.
Yeah.
I think she had a free will and that God could have even provided deliverance. In fact, I think if she had spoken the right words, the heart of David might have even been turned. It's still his sin. It's still. I'm not saying that she's carrying his sin on her. But I do believe she is carrying her own part in it. And God bless her later on. She turns out to be a good mother. I think she does some great things for the kingdom.
Great mother.
But I am just saying, in that moment, let's call a spade a spade.
in that moment, villain?
In that moment, both of them, villains. And in both our villains. Moments, we're villains.
Sure.
I'm not throwing anything at Bathsheba or Bathsheba that I would not take on myself.
Look at me. Look at me.
I'm looking.
I love you. Even though you're
wrong. Didn't doubt it.
Okay. Last villain of the Bible. This one's, so these are villains we're dealing with that have something questionable about their story that still is interesting to discuss. And that this last one would be the villain of villains, Judas.
Yeah.
Judas, the disciple of Jesus, who betrays Jesus with a kiss. Now, the question is not whether or not he's a villain.
No, we all agree with that, 100%. If you don't agree with that, then we need to talk and just go through some scripture.
The question that we have is, was Judas ever a true believer?
Mm.
Did he betray his faith, or was he a fake from the start? Heather, what do you think?
You know, I go back and forth on this one.
So do I, actually.
It's hard for me to...
We're in agreement.
It's hard for me to believe that he's actually in heaven.
Yeah.
I do believe, though, the more I study scripture, I do believe that there was a pulling back and forth, but I believe it may be the pulling you see of a non-believer who loves a Christian and is drawn by God, but then they go back to the world. I think that's where Judas was. I just recently saw this. I think I shared it with you. I learned that in the scripture, there was a true relationship between Judas and Jesus. And I think we often don't see that. We often negate the idea that Jesus really was hurt by this betrayal,
that
it was personal. Basically, it comes down to a Hebrew word. There's two different words for kiss in Hebrew. The first one is more akin to the peck on the cheek, like it's a husband's leaving the house. His wife gives him a little peck, little kiss goodbye. It's quick. It's unemotional. And then there's another word that is very passionate kiss, one that's filled with passion. It's hard for me to picture men in our culture kissing as we see Jesus in the garden. And I'll explain that in a minute. But I think about a hug, that side hug that's unemotional.
Right. The Middle Eastern
versus that one,
more emotional
of a father and son being reunited, and there's great emotion and weeping. Well, when Judas tells the Sanhedrin, he'll be the man that I kiss.
Yeah.
He uses a word, the Hebrew word for that, unemotional. It's going to be a business transaction, a peck on the cheek.
Sure.
When we get to the garden, the word that's actually used is the word that is the one that is the passionate one.
So I
think there was great emotion on both the part of our Lord.
Do you feel he was questioning even in the moment what he was doing?
I think that it was harder than he expected it to be, which does bring interesting thoughts. Now, does that mean he was a Christian? I don't think so, but I think he was closer to accepting Christ than we realized.
That is very interesting. Okay, so here's the other side. Mark chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus says, in the upper room, he says, somebody's going to betray me. And then he says, woe to the
man
who betrays the Son
of Man.
How do you go
when he says that right to your face?
Right, I know,
and you
then
know
still
it's
do it.
You. Ugh.
Right. Woe to the Son of Man who betrays the... Woe unto the man who betrays the Son of Man. It is better for him that he had not been born.
Mm.
So,
that does sound like eternal damnation right there.
Yeah, Jesus knowing that he is the one who would betray. Warren Wiersbe says this, if you are not born again, the day will come when you wish you had never been born at all.
Oh,
and I
strong argument there.
I really have a hard time thinking that I think Judas was very close. Yes, I think he was truly close to true belief,
mm-hmm.
but to think he was ever in true belief is really hard for me. So that's kind of my thoughts.
I agree with you on that. We're in agreement. I don't believe Judas is saved. I don't believe we'll see him in heaven. And it's really sad. You think about, I've dealt with people. I know some people now that I'm still praying for their salvation. I've seen them get very emotionally moved by the things of Christianity or even by God himself. And it's not that they're not believers in God, but when it comes to accepting Christ for salvation,
there's a difference.
They haven't done that.
You know, you might be listening to this podcast and you think, man, I believe in God. But if you've never put your faith in Christ, you could be very close to belief and not
You'd be emotional. You could feel things.
Right. But
Good
you must
things.
Receive
but yes.
Christ. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. You can listen to previous episodes on our iTunes podcast and at 101.1 FM Experience Liberty Radio.
Now, on our next podcast, we're going to be discussing one of the most misapplied Bible passages there is, and it's something that Josh and I have talked about a lot in our own relationship. Really fascinating. You got to come back. You're going to want to hear it.
Interpersonal relationships.
Yes.
Totally misapplied the words of Jesus, I think. It's going to be very fascinating. If you'd like to connect with us further, please go onto Facebook and like our page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Here is the place that we can actually interact with you, take requests for upcoming episodes, and we want to be answering your questions.
And if you enjoy this podcast, be sure and do this thing. Subscribe to it so that you don't miss a single episode that's coming up.
That's right. You can subscribe right on iTunes. Again.
Do it. Do it now.
Thank you for listening. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.